Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Starting at verse 1, going to verse 7. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." Heavenly Father, I'm asking your help today. Help me to preach the message that I believe that you've laid upon my heart. Empower me from on high. Do through me what I could never do in my own mind or planning or ability or talent. Please let the Holy Spirit speak through me, move through me, touch through me, and help my listeners, Lord. And I praise you and worship you and magnify the wonderful and precious name of Jesus Christ. And in that lovely name, the name above every name, Lord, I praise you and worship you. Glorify thy name. And in that name, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Amen. I want to talk to you today about holiness, something we never hear about anymore. The Sunday school teacher may mention it once in a while, I suppose. May read across the word holiness or holy or sanctification and scratch our heads and say we don't understand. But Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Holiness is important. The Bible talks about it. The apostles talked about it. Jesus talked about it. The Old Testament prophets talked about it. The word holiness and the word sanctification, from the Greek, it's the same word. It means to be separated unto God and unto good works and for God's use. You may remember in Acts it says that the Spirit spoke and said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do." Again, to be separated from the world, from religious duty, from you name it, to be separate from all of that stuff, from sin even. It's important to be separate from sin and to be reserved for God. Sanctification is the act of being holy, I suppose. There are three schools of thought. There's positional sanctification. You can, like Paul said, to be in Christ. Remember, he said that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've shared my testimony on this station before, quite a number of times. One day I was running to bars, smoking dope, chasing women, doing all that stuff you shouldn't do. But on November 30th, 1984, at 1:45 in the afternoon in my dorm room at LSU, Jesus Christ came into that room. The Holy Spirit came into my dorm room and convicted me of sin, and I knew that I needed to live for Him, and I surrendered. I said, "Yes, Lord, I will serve You." Matter of fact, I said, "Yes, I'll even preach Your word." And He accepted my prayer. He accepted the cry of my heart, the meditation of my heart. I said, "Yes, I will serve You." And I knew right then, just in a minute or two, that I was delivered from dope. I was delivered from bars. It's one thing if you're hooked on dope to be set free. And I was set free. But I was set free from bars. I knew that I didn't need to set foot in a bar ever again as long as I lived. Whatever attraction there was, it was gone. I knew that I was free. Didn't have to go back. He changed my life. There's something called the evidence of a changed life. Paul said we're justified by faith. James said, okay, you got faith. Let's see your works. Faith without works is dead. There has to be a change in your life if you've been truly born again. Okay, fine, you're in Christ. There's the position, the positional sanctification. What is your position with God? Then there's progressive sanctification. You get saved. Okay, great. He may deliver you out of drugs like He did me. Maybe you don't have that kind of, let's say, road to Damascus experience. Maybe you kneel in an altar and get saved in church. Maybe you listen to this program and you say, "Brother Kelly, I've heard you all these years. I want to live for God." However it is. But then, for the rest of your life, you're supposed to learn about God. Open the Bible, learn what it says, go to Sunday school, hear messages in church or on the radio, what have you, and grow in Christ. You progress. You're in Christ, your position is secure, but then you grow. You mature, Paul said. And I believe that. I believe that we're in Christ positionally. I believe that we progress, or we should. But the Baptists and the Reformed folks, they're very big on progressive sanctification. Let's say the Presbyterians as well, they would fall under that category, that believe in progressive sanctification. The Methodists believe something different. They believe in entire sanctification. They believe you get saved, you live for God, that's fine. But at some point, God does something in your heart and in your life, maybe through a crisis event in your life, let's say like Jacob or Peter, when he denied the Lord and Jesus said he was going to be converted. He was already saved. He didn't get saved again, but there was a crisis experience in his life. And after this crisis, you step up to a new level, walking with God. You're free from the sin that so easily besets you, Paul said. You're free from that kind of habitual life of living in sin. You can have abundant life. that Jesus spoke about. And the Baptists and the Methodists historically have bickered back and forth about the understanding of holiness. The Baptists say to the Methodists, well, you don't need a second work of grace to be holy. A friend of mine, Pastor Andy Harris, in Shreveport, he said that I don't care if it takes 100 works of grace, you need to be sanctified. You need to live a holy life. I was just with him, as you listen to this broadcast, about a week and a half before. I was up in Van Buren, Arkansas at the Acts 6-4 conference. It's a preacher's conference for the Assemblies of God. We had great services. We had marvelous services. God met us up in those Ozark Hills or whatever. I'm going to be putting a link on my website to that conference. There are videos, YouTube videos, whatever. If you can, I think it would do you good to watch one or two of those videos. But getting back to sanctification, there's something else called the finished work. The Assemblies of God, also the Pentecostal Church of God, their doctrine is what we call finished work, which is kind of a cross between progressive sanctification and entire sanctification. And I don't want to bore you with the details, but we believe that God will give you victory over cigarettes, over gambling, over whatever besetting sin you might have. You don't have to sin every day. You can walk free. Jesus died for you to be free of whatever that problem is. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to live a holy and separated unto God life. As usual, I write down too many scriptures, too many passages. I'll study, and this verse comes to me, and that passage comes to me, and I'm happy. I enjoy studying the Word of God. I enjoy putting together a sermon, but usually I end up with too much material. I've got a couple more passages I'd like to get through. If I don't get through them, well, I tried. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 15, I don't know how much of this I can read, but Paul says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You say, what's sound doctrine? Well, let's go to the Bible. And let's find out if what your church or what that guy on TV or this preacher, Joey Kelly, says on the radio, let's find out if what is taught is true by going to the Bible and verifying what the man said or what the church teaches. Let's verify it from the Word of God. Let's have sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, in verse 2, grave, temperate. In other words, don't go getting drunk every Saturday night. Sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. They should behave in a holy fashion. They should behave like they're children of God. They shouldn't behave like everybody else, all their sinner friends. They should be friends with sinners. That's fantastic. That's great. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he didn't act like sinners. There were prostitutes, as two or three you can go and find in the Gospels, that they hung around Christ, and Jesus Christ hung around them. But they, it says again and again and again, they left that former profession. They wept at his feet, ashamed of how they lived. They went and sinned no more. Here in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And it mentions, if we go down, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. In other words, not dressing like all that in a bag of chips, I guess. That nonsense you see on TV and MTV and internet, what have you. That's not for us. We're not supposed to dress like, I don't even know the people. I don't watch TV. I don't watch those videos on the internet, but you understand what I'm talking about. We need to dress modestly and not let it all hang out. To be keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, and they look at your life and they say, well, apparently he don't smoke no more. He got off the crack pipe. He pays his tithe. He goes to church. Okay, he must be a Christian. Somebody else says, I'm a Christian, and they look and say, well, you're still smoking. You're still spending the money on gambling. You're still buying a lottery ticket. You still smoke dope once in a while. You cuss like a sailor. Well, you must not be a Christian. You know that lottery. I don't know when the drawing's going to be. The jackpot's $1.3 billion. That's insane. And everybody and their brother-in-law is going to spend all their extra money buying a ticket so that maybe they might win. First off, it's a sucker's bet. You're not going to win. Trust me. You're wasting your money. Let's be honest. We shouldn't be greedy. We should be content with the things that we have. Again, it's a sucker's bet. You're a fool for spending your money on gambling, on the lottery, what have you. I was talking to some friends of mine on Facebook, as a matter of fact. We were talking about the jackpot and all of that stuff. And I said that I would be ashamed if I won. I'd be ashamed to have to go to my pastor and said, well, pastor, I won the lottery and I'm taking the installments. Well, here's a $2 million tithe check. I guess he would be happy, but he would be ashamed, and I would be ashamed. If I won that money, I'd be ashamed to come on the radio the next week and say, well, you know, all my debts are paid off, and I'm helping this missionary, I'm going to start this church down in India, etc., but I got the money because I gambled. I'd be ashamed. I'd stand before God and weep and say, I'm sorry for doing such a stupid thing. I mean, I guess the money, but I would be ashamed. You should be ashamed if you're gambling. You're wasting your money. And it's just not that which becometh saints. It's just not right to live like you used to live. Quit all that. You're supposed to be a new creature in Christ. Let's be a new creature. Let's act like Christians. Because I guarantee you, the sinners look at you. They know what a Christian's supposed to act like. And when they see your life not measuring up, not matching what the Bible says, the only one that's fooled is you, because they're not fooled. 1 Peter chapter 3, he echoes the same thing. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, in other words, the husband is not saved, doesn't live for God, what have you, then they may without the word, in other words, don't preach to him all the time, just live for God. He knows you go to church. He knows you read the Bible. But if he sees you living it, then he'll say, hey, there's something to this. But it says in verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or braiding, or what have you, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. You want to put on earrings? You want to put on lipstick? Go ahead. Fantastic. God's not against that. But you need to put on holiness. You need to put on right living. You need to live for God. And we understand what the Bible says. Why don't we just do it? There are those that teach wrongly that how you dress is equated with holiness. There are some churches would have you, I guess I could name a denomination or two, that say that your sleeves have to be so long, your skirt has to be so long, what have you. And if you don't dress the way they say, then you're sinning. That's simply not true. The Bible is clear. We've read a couple of passages here in Titus and in 1 Peter that says that it's how you act. God looks on the inward part. Man looks on the outward part, but God looks on the heart. It's how you act. It's how you live. It's how you speak to people. Again, we need to have inward holiness and not outward or clothesline religion. Friends, Jesus Christ gave his life. Nailed to a cross, we know the story. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We know all of this. And that's fantastic. And I'm so glad to be a Christian. But the Bible is clear that we should live a holy and separated life. We shouldn't act like the sinners. We shouldn't have a lifestyle and a habit of enjoying the things that sinners enjoy. You say, well, I still want to go do that. I still want to sit on the couch and watch those shows. Okay, you may want to. I get it. But as you draw closer to God and spend more time in the Word of God and in hopefully a good church, more time praying, more time seeking His face, more time saying, not my will, but thine be done. It was Jesus' prayer before He went to the cross, remember? The more time you spend with God, the less time you will want to spend with the world. As you draw closer, hopefully progressive sanctification is active in your life. The closer you get to God, the less you will enjoy the things of the world. And again, I'll close with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you want to be ready when He comes, you need to live right. You need to walk right. You need to act right. If you want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.